A little bit of time and a lot to say. The end of school is nigh. Next Thursday? Next Thursday's the end already. And we're just getting rolling. I'm feeling like we're just getting rolling here now. I was thinking in the beginning, what are we going to do for 13 weeks? It's happening. There is a lot there. No, we're good. We just need to become what these last 13 weeks. Let's go, guys. Let's pull together. I want to wrap some up. I want to talk about just praying in tongues for a little bit so we can cover these two topics. Fasting and prayer, and praying in tongues was requested as well by Dick. And not really. He was just in much approval. He thought it was really good. You might have said fasting in other tongues, or did you just say fasting? I think you mentioned both. Watch this. I'm going to wrap this one comment we've been making all, because I didn't even read how he started this. You know how we read things in text? And a lot of people, because, see, if you deal with your heart and motive first and get selfless, you'll interpret things. If you're not selfless, the motive you read your Bible in and the belief system you read your Bible in determines how you're going to interpret things. Because I've heard husbands and wives hold the scriptures in Corinthians 7 against each other about render to his wife the affection due her, likewise the wife her husband. And then all of a sudden we turn that sexual and say, look, man, you need to just give it up. That's how raw we get with it. And come on, that's just twisted. That's not what it's saying. Give her the affection due her. Look, the value of the woman. Why? If I love my wife, why would I ever treat her for my sake at her expense? Even the whole arousing one another thing, people say, like this one young girl, Jessalyn, bless her heart. She sat here and cried. I'm not exposing anything bad. That one day we talked and had that thing, and she was back here crying. She came up and told me the pressure she's been under and stuff, and she was talking, and I got talking into the whole lingerie stuff, and she said, is that wrong? And I said, well, it's not that it's a right or wrong issue. I said, but why do you want a man to lust you? You want a man to love you. I said, because if you want to arouse that and all that and do all that and then to make yourself feel this and that, it's who you are. It's not what you look like and how you can arouse him. I said, because then if you fire that up in him, wonder if you don't feel well that night or wonder if you don't feel like it. And now you have issues. And now I just talk plain. We're all adults. Can I talk this? I said, now here's what you created. Now you go to bed and you're not in a physical place to even fulfill his desire, and he's laying there squirming and saying, man, honey, you know, I wish you felt better. And all of a sudden I said, you turn his way, I'm just talking plain, and you get him off so you can sleep, and you call that love. I said, my goodness, I could hold my wife as close as could be with the purpose of loving her, just to love her, period. And if she recognizes in her heart some sense of going deeper in the expression of that intimacy of love and the sense of just feeling safe and in arms, and she opens up herself in a way where it would, you know, go anywhere else, I can respond to that for her in that desire, in that moment, in that motive. When I got this revelation, she was freaked out because I was driven by what we're talking about. And she was like, how can you? And one day she looked at me and she said, something can happen to me and we wouldn't be able to come together and you'd be totally okay because you love me. And I said, are you kidding? Why wouldn't I be? Yeah, I love you. She said, that's beautiful. And it actually made her free. Where she never felt, okay, I have grace to finish this thing. This is awesome. I've never had grace. So the reason I struggled so much in the beginning, this is commending you guys that I have this much grace to talk about these things. It's actually, God knows everybody in this room. And I don't think you're going to hear the gospel to hurt one another. Obviously, I have grace to say some things right now. I blew our sexual life in our marriage out of the water. Because I thought if we were coming together sexually about four times a week, a marriage was good. So that was an expectation. I was already miserable and full of strife and stress anyway. So my wife thought, well, if we don't do that, it'll be worse. So for 13 years, she gave herself to that scenario without really wanting to. And just played along until her heart died. Because you can only stay in that realm so long. So when I got saved and that manhood thing I talked about, when I was on my knees crying, the Spirit of God came upon me, man. It was the most incredible experience. And I'm getting real personal now. I hope my wife's okay. Are you okay, honey? Yes. I'll be fine. I'm messing up, Lori. Pray for me. And so I thought when I got saved, my wife was, she was a million miles away in her heart. And it was 7 weeks later, Holy Spirit came on her, boom. And we had this like incredible just experience of just reconciliation. Nothing to do with sexual, nothing. I remember a 48-hour period went by when we got restored, and we have no remembrance. It was like a blur. We don't remember feeding the kids, tucking them into bed. We don't even remember the kids for 2 days. So I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. They were fine. They didn't say nothing about any angels tucking them in bed, but something happens. No, we don't even remember cooking. We had this face-to-face, this thing where we were just together. And it was neat. I remember going to bed, like on the third day, and just holding her and just knowing I loved her for the first time in my life, understanding that I finally understood love. This is cool. When you surrender yourself, that's the table set to become love, because love isn't selfish, and selfishness isn't love. So there was a lot of grace on my conversion, because the night I got saved, I was sure I hated my wife. I was actually in my mind in arrogance saying, why did I waste 13 years of my life with her? That's what I was thinking. And I was thinking, I'm just going to go find me another girl and start over. Somebody will fall for me. That's what I figured. And that's terrible. But that's where I was. I can tell you this, guys. When I died to myself that night, I said, oh my God, my life is so pitiful. I'm so selfish. And then God, boom, he was real. About a half hour after that, I remember just thinking about my wife and standing there crying and knowing for the first time in my life, I loved somebody. I understood love. Why? Because love came in me. It's so amazing. But I never went to one teaching on love. I never went to a love discipleship class. I just got born again. And inside my spirit was love for the first time. And when I thought in my wife's direction, I knew I didn't hate her. I actually knew I loved her. And every perspective shifted a half hour after my conversion. Now, if I've been holding on to me and incorporated God into my life for any other reason or prayed a prayer to go to heaven, that would not have been my experience. And then I'd have had to grow in that truth somewhere along the line. Oh, I'm preaching at you right now. So don't ever incorporate him in and hold back. You give out. You give up. Die already. Dead to you, alive to him. Full measure of grace to see and all that good stuff. Well, I went home, told my wife what happened. She screamed at me. She cursed me. She's not like that. But she screamed at me and cursed me and told me I was a fool. And you live like the devil for 13 years and all of a sudden you're a man of God. I don't think so. I know what you're doing. You're trying to make the family think you're the good guy and I'm the witch. You make me sick. And she had right to feel all that way. I'm not judging her. I understand why she felt that way. She didn't have a revelation to carry her through what I put her through. Man, I am on like emotional roller coasters at these classes. You have no idea. Yeah. Last week was the most I was ever challenged teaching. My emotions were so, I could cry just thinking about it. Because there's a sincere concern and love for the church in my heart. Sometimes I feel like just believe in so many lies and the truths here, and it's not a condemnation judgment thing. It's so I have to be careful not to be overwhelming with that and sound proud or like I see this and you don't. It's not that at all. It's just that that topic on healing has been so butchered. One day I was praying and I was reading Ezekiel and how we went among the nations and profaned his name. And I realized we've chopped his name up and are trying to represent this many different God from our little circles and camps and streams. And we all have these different representations of God and we've profaned his name. We've misrepresented him. And we've called him the thief, the one that steals and kills. We put him in total sovereign control and stepped out of the beauty and privilege of subduing the earth and the authority through covenant through Jesus. We've done a lot of things, guys. I have some Christian channels. I try to watch them every once in a while and I don't really do well. And I say, God, am I being self-righteous? Am I being judgmental? Please help me because I have a hard time watching a lot of Christian shows. I'm looking and I'm thinking, there was a show on there. They had a whole panel of pastors. It was called Ask the Pastor and they were asking questions. I sat there and cried and just turned it off. Because they're answering out of their Bible college and doctrine instead of their relationship with Jesus. So, I mean, the one pastor flat out said, the circle I come from and where I'm come from, what we're taught is, I don't want to pass that on public TV to viewers. I want to teach what Jesus is showing me through relationship and intimacy, not what my schooling taught me. That was scary. I said, oh God, have mercy on us. And these sincere people that are calling in, you know. Well, let me just nail this down. Now that I just shared, now I see what I'm doing. Wow, I just figured it out. He gave me grace to share that and turn off the tape for a minute. And chapter 7, verse 1 says this, and I'm done with this then. We're not reading anything else. It says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Watch this. Did I just do wrong? But she's a woman, and I'm touching her. So what's he saying? Because he goes right into relationship and marriage and sexual stuff. Here's what it means. To touch a woman with desire. So is desire ever the reason you touch even your wife? Or is it the value and beauty of her life through love? And her yielding to the safety and the awesomeness of that love? Or is it just desire and sex drive and need? And I tell you, we need so challenged in this area. That's why most women, not most, a lot of women, and forgive me, it's not most, I just said that and he corrected me. A lot of women, when they hit their middle years, go through so much trouble in their soul because they've carried this yoke their whole life. And now they're not the young woman anymore. And the value of their life is being defined by their age and their looks. And they're trying to hold on to the young girl. When they're not the young girl, they're the mature, precious, beautiful, formed in Christ woman they've grown to be. And you ought to be glad and smile and look in the mirror and thank Jesus for what he's doing. And if there's a man of God in your life, he certainly would understand that. And if there's not a man of God in your life that would understand that, you can't come under that pressure because you can't fulfill that and carry that weight. It'll crush you. At some place, you got to be okay with who you are. And then out of the security, confidence, and beauty of who you are, you will shine. Are you following me? This thing is so, I promise you, I've never read a Christian book on this topic that's even close to the truth. It's the world painted Christian in those books. God help us. Help me. So it's not good. I tell people all the time, it's already written. It's already written. But here's the deal. Here's the deal, and I'm not being mean. I'm not defending right now. You guys hear my heart. I think you know me better, that you're not going to push me in a corner, and I'm not going to defend and stand for my rights. Here's my concern about with another book. I get heard that I should write a book weekly, but I never hear it from the Lord. I actually said, and people say, well, God's been telling you through all these people. No, God's not telling me through all these people. These people are telling me through their own desire, because we lean on the book to do our teaching and interpreting. Holy Spirit will do the teaching, interpreting when I get before Him pure and ask. If I ask, I'll find. So here's the thing. You start relying on a book and someone's revelation when that can just then translate into your now knowledge. It's okay to teach in what we're doing, but you know how much I speak relationship constantly and knowing Him and intimacy. So I'm not defending. I believe the book's already written. I believe it's here. If we would ask God to teach us these things and get alone and show me what it means to be a man of God, if you men and me would get in our bedroom and say, Holy Spirit, teach me what it really means to be a man of God. Teach me what it means to be pure and holy in your sight and in relationship and even sexually. Put it all in order. I seek you. And when I read the word, I want to know your will, period, with no string attached, not holding on to any area or faucet of desire in life. So many people come to you with a question and they already have the answer settled in their heart. And they're either looking for qualification or they're some form of contention to prove a point to keep their conscience moving in that area, to keep something alive that maybe God wants to squash. You can't even go to God like that. You'll deceive yourself. You'll think you're hearing the Lord. I've heard people say, well, I was with the Lord and the Lord said and the Lord told me. And when they tell you what the Lord told, if you know the Lord at all, you know He didn't say that, because it's contrary to His nature and His character. To say God made us certain. Here's what God made us. God made us love. And when you find love, you find who you are. When you define love clearly, you expose everything else that snuck through. And it all finds its proper place. Most of it's in the trash. Yeah, but, brother, yeah, but nothing. That's just your flesh going a little fast and quench that. No, I'm kidding. It's not good to what? It's not good for a man to touch a woman. This is not what he means. It means with desire. No one was created to meet your need at their expense in any way. And you say, well, marriage is free. It's will. It's given 50-50. It's given one another. I give myself to you. Yeah, it's not always that way. We develop expectations, demands, and then we oblige them because they're kind of unspoken contracts, if you will. You following me? Look at verse 9. I said I was done, but I'm not. It just came to me. I thought, this is right here too. I know it's right here somewhere. I just looked down. I looked right at it. I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Isn't that amazing? That doesn't mean it's wrong to get married if you're in that condition. But he's saying, man, if you can just remain that way, remain that way. Now watch. And it doesn't mean it's wrong for you to grow in a covenant love if you've been widowed and get married. That's not what he's saying. But here's one thing he is saying. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So we hear that as a consent to remaining that way. When if you back up a bunch of verses, there's your answer. Break away and consent to break away, so you get into fasting and prayer, so you can get your life straightened out and your desires straightened out. Stop burning with passion. Because look, if you're burning with passion and it's acceptable and something happens to your sexual life because of health or issues or illness or travel, then you're just a man still burning with passion in trouble. Or a woman. It doesn't even make sense to accept this as a permission slip. What he's saying is, man, rather than fornicate and violate your conscience, look, at least, you know, get into a covenant and join yourself in that way. But get a grip on yourself, guys. But the only reason they're doing that is because they can't exercise what? So here's two times in four verses where we hear that there's a lack of self-control in people's lives. Now, can you imagine that that's the will of God and healthy? No. God forbid that you let that be your reason to stay compromised. Well, God knows how I am. Well, he's the one that made us. Yeah, in his image. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with that. We talked about... I'm trying to be done. We talked about the difference. Remember way back, we talked about, seems like a long time ago. This school seems like we've been doing school for a long time. Does it seem fast or like a long time to you? I don't know why it seems, don't hear this wrong. It seems like we've been here forever. In the beginning was the school. And the school was with God. And the word, the school was God. Oh, I'm having trouble. It's God ministering to me, restoring me after the last hour and a half. Oh, I've been through a lot. We talked about the difference between your born-again experience and receiving your recreated spirit versus the baptism of Holy Spirit. Remember that day? And I said, would that be helpful if I teach on that and we go look at all the scriptures? Was that a good day? You guys remember? And when we answered questions. Oh, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, Pastor Don, he's not here. He was here. Well, there's Pastor Don. I see him. They're one. You can't speak on his behalf, though. I'm thinking... Did he say anything to you about you guys? There's something he really wants to share and teach about, especially with the accident, the motorcycle. Did he talk to you about that?
We talked about it a while back.
Okay, no, well, I think that's going to happen Thursday. And you're going to participate. So just letting you know. But but it was possibly tomorrow. But he had something scheduled tomorrow, but he said he wasn't going to be sure till later. So it's possible that they'll do that tomorrow, but probably Thursday. But here's what I want to do, and while I'm thinking of it. If I'm here tomorrow or Thursday, either way, the next day I'm here, either tomorrow or Thursday, let's just do open up questions. So that'll give you a chance. If you have questions that didn't get a chance to be asked or answered during classes, it could even be a question from wherever back. If you have questions, think about it. Make sure you're prepared. But tomorrow we'll open up with the intent of just out of the gate answering questions, even if they seem unconnected and off the wall. It's okay. They're questions. So we'll answer them the best we can. And if we can't answer them, we won't try. Or we'll call on Angelo. Well, you don't have the right hair color. You're getting there, though. You're awesome. But we'll ask questions and we'll try to answer them. So let's just take, and if there's not enough questions to, I'm sure we won't run out of, something will happen. If we run out of questions, something will happen. The class will be okay. So, but think about that, whether that's tomorrow or Thursday, the next time I'm back. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, you did have your hand up.
We're going to talk Thursday. Because Thursday is your birthday and we're giving you the day off.
Well, I don't need a day off for my birthday. No, I really don't. I'll just be home alone. No, I won't be alone, but no, that isn't even why I was asking off. But it's going to work out good. You guys have something to share about that whole thing, which I think is fitting. And then you're away next week, the last week of school. You guys are going. You're okay with that. Okay. And, we send you. You could go for us. No, serious. They're going to share because there is something there. And Pastor has something on his heart. So, but yeah, it did happen to be my birthday. But that isn't why I'm not going to be here. And he has something he committed about being in a hospital procedure or a surgery procedure with somebody tomorrow, if that happens, and they requested that he be there, but he doesn't know what time. So he told me if it's later and after school, he would gladly do it tomorrow. So just for a heads up for you while you're sitting here, and maybe you can ask him. Well, what I'm saying is, because you're involved, though, maybe you can ask when you see him and find out if there's any way tomorrow will work or if it's definitely Thursday. But either way, the next time I'm here, we're just going to open up right from the get-go and just go with questions. And, okay? And I encourage you, I don't mind questions. I love questions, but always make sure you get your heart in a good place when you ask questions. I'm not saying it for any bad reason. I'm just saying it for your sakes. Not that anybody has ever done that. Nobody. If I felt like somebody was doing that, I love you enough and have enough strength in my life to pull you aside and say, listen, man, I'm concerned about where you're coming from. Man, just talk to me and be straight what's going on or blah, blah, blah. And if I'm judging you right now or it seems like I'm judging you, then just tell me everything's cool and it'll be cool with me. You know, I would do that. Mick.
Sorry about the phone. I thought I had a vibrating tension, but that was Regis. He said, sorry, I couldn't make it. There's a lot of pain today.
Oh, yeah, that just hurts.
Let's pray for him right now. Would you lift him up? Would you pray for Regis right now and believe together as a church? Come on, guys.
Father, we thank you, God, for the blessings, God, for the grace, grace, and love that you so graciously, lovingly shared with us. God, Lord, through us, through your sufferings, God, we ask, Lord, that you be merciful to the needs this day. Regis, your servant, dear God, bless him, Lord. Bless that vessel. You created it for your glory, for your goodness, God. Lord, lift him up. Heal him, Lord.
Amen.
Bless him. God, help him. In a mighty way, O Lord, let him feel and know that you and you alone can minister to him. God, bless him. God, care for him, O God. We, your children, cry out this day. We have needs, Lord, but you know the burdens that we have. But bring us spirits a lot of that pain, dear God. Loose him, Lord. Loose him, God. Heal him out. Help him, Jesus, that he might proclaim your name.
Lord,
stand in the congregation of the righteous. Declare you to be the Lord.
Come on,
Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thanks for your love for Regis. Thank you, Mick. Thanks, guys. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1. Your born-again experience... Well, that was one of the questions when they asked the pastor show, do you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again? Well, you do. Your spirit gets reborn. You receive the Spirit of God in your spirit, and light comes and replaces darkness. You become wheat and not a tare. We went through all that. Jesus breathed on his men and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But then he turned around Luke and said, tarry in the city for the promise of the Father. It's going to come upon you. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. But wait a minute. I thought you just breathed on him and gave him Holy Spirit. Why are they waiting for Holy Spirit? You already breathed in. It's two separate things. It's a well springing up into everlasting life. They're born again. And the other one's a river coming out of your belly, bringing life wherever it flows. Okay. So your born again experience is your spirit man. I'm just retouching. Because it was a long time ago, the class, but just to set up this, in Acts 8, Peter and John walked 35 to 55 miles or rode a mule or whatever they did, a camel, I don't know, but they went to Samaria. They went 35 to 55 miles approximately with the purpose of laying hands on them to be baptized in Holy Spirit because they had only been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ and he hadn't come upon any of them yet. Well, if it was an automatic and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, why did they have to go do that? You know, Acts 19, Paul sees disciples and he says, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? If he's an automatic given, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why would he be asking him that question? Their answer was amazing. They said, we haven't even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. He said, what? What were you guys baptized into? Well, we were baptized in the baptism of John. He went, oh, now I get it. You were baptized. That's the baptism of repentance. He was preaching the one who was to come. Didn't you guys know he's come? He's raised from the dead. His name is Jesus. Said when they heard the gospel, they got born again. They got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to pray in tongues, worship God, and prophesy. Okay? The outward evidence that seems synonymous with the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is one of the things that is noted most often is obviously praying in tongues. Okay? Some people get prayed for and they struggle in their soul with the whole tongues and they've heard a lot of teachings or they get soul conscious and they feel pressured and they step out of that whole love and grace thing. Even in your mind, sometimes you can do that. And then all of a sudden it becomes a tongues issue instead of receiving Him issue. How do you receive Holy Spirit? Same way you're born again. You born again? You go into heaven. When Jesus comes, are you in, buddy? How do you know? You know, don't you? That's excellent. Same way you receive Holy Spirit. Right? How much more the Father will give Holy Spirit to them that... And here's what's happened. We've created doctrines and said, well, if you didn't this, and if you didn't fall out, if you didn't shake and scream, if you didn't feel this, if you didn't this, then it didn't happen. And man, we've messed people up. We said, well, He didn't come. The Bible says He comes if you ask. Because if you preach He didn't, then there's something wrong with you if He didn't. And all you can go on is believing is if I get in order, He'll come. Or if I line up, He'll come. Or if I get clean enough, He'll come. Or if I've watched Him come, and when He comes, He cleans. Serious? And there's very rare occasions. Don't you tell somebody that He can't come because of something in their life and then not expose that something and get it ironed out. Don't you put that on people's souls. Don't you tell them, well, it must be some generational curse, and then them walk away feeling cursed. There was one time in my life where I prayed for specifically a lady that there was a bunch of people were praying for baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people were getting filled with the Spirit, and they're crying, and they're praying in tongues, and it was a very powerful, full of manifestation time, actually, that night. It was amazing. And this girl just stood there, walked by her, be filled with Holy Spirit, and went to everybody else, and boom, 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 they're just praying, and she's just standing there. Tears start running down because she's thinking, everybody but me. Now the pressure's on her. Everybody but me. My heart went out to her because I knew what was going on in her mind. I said, hey, kiddo, He loves you. You ask, you receive. Don't you get caught up in your soul. And she's just crying a little and standing there. And it just was like, man. And all of a sudden, I got a word of knowledge. See, because you don't want to tell her, well, there's a reason you can't receive Him. There has to be a reason. Come on, don't play detective and be that shallow in general. If you're going to play detective, then be in the know and hear the voice of God and tell Him what it is. Nobody needs to just tell somebody, well, there's something holding you back. There has to be some kind of stronghold. Stop that language concerning healing and all this stuff, because you're just putting that on their conscience, and now they're going to go fishing and wonder what's so wrong with them, because nothing's jumping out. I leaned into her and I whispered, because I was mic'd and everything, and I probably flipped it off, and I leaned in and I whispered. I remember saying to her, I said, hey. I said, kiddo, it's not worth it. I said, let it go. I said, it doesn't matter how much money it was. The relationship wasn't even God, and it's not worth it. I said, it's time to forgive today. It's time to be free and be whole. She went, fell under the power of God and laid there praying in tongues. Here she was in a live-in relationship with a guy, and it wasn't God, and she got saved. And he thought, you've lost it. I don't want to be with you anymore. You know, you don't want to sleep together anymore. I'm out of here. I'll find somebody that does. That's what happens. And they reveal, I never loved you in the first place. I just wanted you. Quick to run. And he took all the money that they accumulated together while they were living together. And she was bitter. And God was telling her to let that go. Who cares if He took that? That wasn't even from me. That wasn't even, that was what you got. That just let it go. Call it dead. Write that thing off and never look back. And when she released that and decided that that was no longer an issue, it was amazing how he flooded her, but there was something he was fathering her in first. I've seen other things happen where Holy Spirit will come and do that, and then they'll go, oh my God, I just see that I was this for years. There's no need. I just, ah. It works both ways. So to imply that he's not coming because something's wrong with you, because I'm not big on, I won't let people get deceived by manifestations or the lack of manifestations. We live by faith. I said, how do you know you're going to heaven? Perfect. By faith. Because you just know. You just know. And people in the world don't get that. They're trying to get more out of him. Well, yeah, but what do you mean you just know, dude? Wonder if you're wrong. What if, well, I just know. I'm not wrong. I know. It's the Spirit of God has bore witness to my spirit. I know. I've come to him by faith, and I know. I'm a child of God. Look at me. Right? But people that don't understand faith don't understand that. And you need to understand faith, because with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've seen a lot of people hurt through that whole thing. And then they get real soul-bound in the sense that they get tonguey conscious. And I don't want to say, I don't want to think it's me, and I don't want to make it up, and I don't want to sound like them. They just cry. No, you be prayed for. If somebody lays hands on you, I receive you, Holy Spirit. My heart and life is open wide. Father, thank you for baptizing me in Holy Spirit. I'm asking you. And you said, how much more will you receive if you ask? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I invite you in. I welcome you. I know people that have been prayed for like that, and they say, thank you for coming. Holy Spirit, I appreciate you. Be my teacher. And they're talking. They'll go home. They get in their car. All of a sudden, just other tongues is just there. It's in them. I had one guy call me on the phone, and he said, I got these words in me. They sound so strange, but they're inside me. It's like they want to come out. I said, well, you have to pray them. Just pray them out. You mean you hear them now? Yeah. Pray, man. Pray. Right over the phone. He was holding that thing. He was like, his belly was going to explode. He's like, dude, what's going on, man? I hear these words in me. I said, yeah. It's in you. He gives the utterance. You got to speak them. Open your mouth and talk, buddy. I think sometimes we think he goes, and then when he's done, he stops. And then a little later, no, it's like a waterfall. So you can pray in the spirit. You can just, Father, I worship you and love you. You are the Lord of my life. I worship you and honor you. I love you, Jesus.
You can do that all day. Oh, it feels good.
It's a good way. When you receive Holy Spirit, if you've been struggling with the whole tongues issue and feeling like it's you or whatever, it's a good time to get alone and love him and begin to pray and honor him and enter into worship. Pick up some psalms and start declaring who he is and let that get big in you. And just thank Holy Spirit for giving you utterance. And even with stammering lips and unknown tongue, just worshiping God. And Paul said, I pray in English. I pray in the Spirit. I'll sing in English. I'll sing in the Spirit. And you have so much intimacy with God with this gift, and we're going to look at it. But you can get alone, and you can begin to just sing, Lord, you are so good to me. I love you, Lord. Sheria so se siaria sanamashe. Kia soria so namashe. You are the Lord to me. I worship you, my God. I worship you, my holy King. Shiato se namahasetia siandio bekia. You just all day.
All day. Oh, it feels good. Amen. So that's us. That's what's wrong with me. That's us. That's just us. Okay? You do that all day. All right? This is good.
I just heard something that you said.
Okay.
You said, prepare a place for me, my God.
Is that what I was saying in the spirit? You heard that? See, that's really cool. You can get interpretations.
Never interpreted.
You've never interpreted? So watch. Now watch. This is beautiful. Because watch. I can still relate to that because I know where my heart just was. And when I was worshiping, I wasn't modeling. I actually was worshiping. Okay. So I wasn't just displaying. I was literally worshiping. My heart was before the Lord. And that's my heart. About preparing a place. Now watch. She's sitting here going, wow. Because in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of God, hearing in the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden there's interpretation in her heart, and she's realizing that as I'm opening up, I'm yielding and surrendering, saying about preparing a place. And you heard that.
Yes.
That's really sweet.
Oh, and I've heard before people I can hear calling and stuff, but I've never
okay.
True.
Now watch, this is so good because this is leading me to where we're going to go and we're going to look at it and might run out of time. But when you're in your prayer language, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand tongues because I don't even know what I'm saying. And it's just da, 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 da. And we're going to look here what happens. There has been a lot of times that I'll enter in and pray in English and I'll begin to pray in the Spirit and I'll get real. I can't get off of the Spirit side of other tongues. And all of a sudden, as I get visions or interpretation and hear in total English inside my spirit what I'm saying. It's so beautiful. And there's a lot of times that I don't, but it's just your spirit, man, and you're edifying yourself. You're very conscious of the one inside of you when you're in that arena. Okay? There's been a handful of occasions, the most amazing thing. The first time it happened to me, I was standing there. And I didn't even know. I was like, I had to go find somebody I really respected because I was so young in the Lord. I was months old in the Lord. And I said, can this happen? Because I think this happened. And they told me that that's an amazing thing, man. That is an intimate place. Just keep pursuing him, man. He said, some of us might not even be able to answer some of these experiences that are available because who's really going after him? Don't limit yourself. Just go after him. Here's what happened in my living room one night. I came home from work and everybody's sleeping and I was like, man, and I just felt like getting loud and I was afraid. I was like, ah, I thought, oh, well, though, God, you'll cover that. And I was going to go outside and it was late because I used to work till 2:30 in the morning. And I was in my living room and I began to just softly and try to watch my noise, worship and sing. And all of a sudden other tongues came in and I began to pray out and sing out in other tongues. And this amazing awareness of the Spirit of God came upon me and God's presence started to blanket me. And all of a sudden, out of my own mouth, I began to speak and it was from the Lord, the interpretation. And the Lord was speaking to me through my own spirit, own English, my own lips with nobody around. And I'm speaking the words and it was God speaking through my spirit into me.
It was the most intense, intimate thing.
And what it was something like, I won't try to quote it, but it started out like, you're my son, and I've always seen you as my son. And he was calling me into receiving more his love and righteousness and da-da-da-da. And I'm standing there speaking this out, going, huh? And it was as if he was standing here talking to me. It was that real. And I thought, is this even like, did I just imagine this? Did I hype this? Did I emotionalize this? You know how our minds do. Well, I've had that experience now a whole bunch of times. And it's a very real place. It is straight up God just talking to you through your own spirit, man. Through the Holy Spirit in you. Boom. Communicating. So you pray for understanding. You pray to understand what God, you know, one day I got a word from the Lord. And it was very corrective and adjustive. It saved me in a lot of ways from some deceptions. And I stood up crying and he really fathered me that morning in an amazing way. And I was praying religiously and I was saying all the right stuff. And he said, oh, Dan, no, you're not. It's just what he said. But he said it in such conviction that I started crying because I knew he was right. And I realized I'm saying the words. And he said, Dan, if what you were saying was real, you wouldn't have walked in this same place. And he pointed out in my life an area. He said, the same place for a year now. He said, you've learned how to pray the right prayer. I'm after your heart. And I started bawling. Because of the ability to just be shallow. And I wasn't bawling because I missed God. I was just crying because his love, he's fathering me. And the ability to be shallow. And yet God's rescuing me again. Coming to my rescue. My knight in shining armor. Huh? And I'm in love. And I'm crying. And I stood up. And I'm like, God. And now he has my heart. And now I'm like, I'm praying. And all of a sudden I just start breaking out in other tongues. And I sang a song in a paragraph. And then I sang another paragraph and another paragraph. And right in the midst, an open vision, three interpretations of each paragraph. And he said it was the three legs of my Christian life. And just revealed them. It was intense.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he spoke through me and showed me stuff. And then two people over the years, prophet people, folks that carry the mantle of prophecy, the mantle, not just flowing in a gift, but they wear the mantle of a prophet. Two different people said, I see this vision. And they've described the third vision specifically and said the same phrase that was at the end of the vision. Twice. How rich is that? And when you're hearing it, you know, you're thinking you need to break down and cry, and it's more like,
yeah, I know, isn't that cool? I'm just in position for that, yeah.
But see, that's being in the know. So you reflect on that and you thank him for it. But the gift of other tongues, the language of other tongues, opened up the door for those things to flow. Even just the sweetness of just you bringing in, being brought into the know, and God's willingness to bring us into the realm of the Spirit and the communion of what's taking place in that realm. And just the sweetness of that was beautiful. Yeah. So let's read. You ready? Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue, and you have to understand that in verse chapter 14 here, he talks a lot about prophecy. He talks a lot about other tongues. Here's basically what he's doing if we read the whole thing. He's encouraging praying in other tongues in your personal life. And if you pray in other tongues openly and you stop a service praying in tongues or get loud and rise above the atmosphere in other tongues, what he's saying is there ought to be an interpretation. And if there is, it puts it on the same level as prophecy. But if there's no interpretation, it does no good to the hearers unless there's interpretation. So all of a sudden, watch what would have happened if I'd have kept going and Phyllis would just been hearing and I'd have kept going and that would have kept flowing. She could have actually interpreted that and it could have became our heart cry and our prayer and we could all entered into that place. And next thing you know, there's this intimate place in the room. See what I mean? That's the purpose of it. So if I'm breaking away and I'm in this realm and I'm taking a lead and you guys are just sitting there and I'm not just modeling, I enter in. All of a sudden in my heart, I'm like, God, I'm here. I'm not just showing them what I mean. I love you. And all of a sudden, poof. Do you see what I mean? And it's just, that's the love of God. Now watch this. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God.
So right there is enough reason to want to pray in tongues. Hello? All of a sudden, you're not even speaking to men. You're speaking to who? To God.
For no one understands him, except a few spiritual folks around, especially up in the front row. No. See, it's all by grace. It's gifting. It doesn't mean we're not spiritual. We didn't hear. It, whatever you have, it's because God gave it. It's because he did it. So there's personal meaning to that. There was example to that. There was demonstration. There's a reason that grace came on her, and it serves many purposes, actually. But the thing is that you be careful of that you don't weigh yourself among yourselves. Don't compare yourselves. Because there's teaching out there. Well, if you'd get the clutter out of yours, you'd hear the Spirit of God, too. That's not always true. He's not wanting everybody in the room to hear certain things. He's there's a body of Christ. There's a flow to things in the body of Christ and in services. And it's not even to more than maybe even to three to prophesy. Does everybody need to pray in tongues? No. But if somebody does, let one interpret. Does that mean they're more spiritual? No, it means that gift came on them and they just exercised it. Here's what we do. Wow, they're more spiritual. I wonder what I'm missing. Wonder why they're hearing and I'm not. And all of a sudden you're exposing identity crisis and you stalemate yourself and create a ceiling and you're not going to grow. Because now you're struggling. And there's no need to struggle. If Justin prays in tongues and interprets, that's just because that gift came on him and he recognized it and exercised it. Praise God for that. But I'm not going to sit here and say, I wonder why God didn't use me. I wonder if my ears are clogged. I wonder if I got to get my life more cleaned up so I hear better. There's a condemnation there. Can I get in a place and can I grow in a place where I hear as clear as I can? Absolutely. That's through communion relationship, but not by comparing yourself among yourselves and weighing yourself short. That never brings increase in your life. How's that? By weighing yourself short and then trying to measure up, that will bring a stronghold into your life. You need to thank God for what he's doing in people around you. Thank God for every gift he's releasing. And thank God you're right in the mix and right in the middle of his desire.
And rejoice.
Amen? Why? Because you're not just being judged by gifts. You're pursuing what's first? You're pursuing
love. And in that love, you desire the expression of Him. True? Come on, it's so healthy. Whole. Teaching good. I can tell. Watch this. For he who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, look at this. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You might be amazed what's accomplished sometimes when you have very little understanding of an area, a country, a governmental situation, but you have a heart for that situation in the Lord and believe you somehow see the will of God, but you really don't know how to put that into English, into the wisdom of words. But you see a situation, you see the state of a country. Just say you're looking and you're watching a film on India, and now India is so big and you don't even know where to pray and what to begin because India is so big in your heart and you're thinking of all these different catches and things and stuff and the hungers and the different stuff and all of a sudden you're just in your room and India is so big on your heart and you're aware and conscious of the Spirit of God in you and the heart of God for India and you just begin to pray fervently in tongues and India's in your heart. And you just pray and pray and oh my goodness, you're speaking mysteries. There's things that God is releasing and praying. Why? Because you're believing. You're available. You're surrendered. You're submitted. You're not saying this is foolish. You're trusting. You're in God. You're not speaking to men. Men don't need to understand. You're speaking to God. And there's something powerful about that because faith has you there. You get it? You can debate. You can rationalize. Well, what are you saying? Well, that's just gibberish. Well, how do I know? Well, why don't you get into some English? Get some understanding. Some faith in your heart. No, there's faith in my heart because God's Spirit is praying through me back to God. And God is moving in an area. You follow me? It's powerful. And there's things that are complex. There's things in our lives that sometimes there's... And praying in tongues is a beautiful way. And you, the key is that you keep your heart pure and your heart's pure. And God, have your way in this area. God, it seems so overwhelming to my soul, but it's sure not overwhelming to you, God. I hardly know how to even put this into words right now because I don't know, just my soul and the way I'm seeing it. And I just know you love them. And I know, sete biakasando bohosheke hiatamasesarabahashate. That's prayer. That's how it works. But it's full of heart. It's full of purpose. You're not just walking around just praying. There's heart. There's motive. There's purpose. Now, there's times I'll just pray in tongues. I'll just drive and just burst out and pray in tongues. Why? Because I want to, because I like to. Feel good. Am I speaking to God? Yeah. Is there purpose to it? Is there some kind of conversation? Yep. But I know one thing. It does me good. Do you get it? There's times I just do it because it feels right. Not that I'm living sensual. It's just right. It does something. It's right. Okay? Now watch. So he who speaks in a tongue, he's speaking to not to men, but to God. No one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue, watch this. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. What a way to pursue spirit consciousness. What a way to understand the Spirit of God's in you, that you're a spirit being. That there's actually a communion going on in the DNA of heaven, a heavenly realm, a heavenly language. It's the tongues of angels, right? It's the tongues of God. It's a mystery language to the flesh, to the English language. But God sure knows that He speaks it, right? And it's in your spirit and Holy Spirit speaks it. So it's neat. So if you speak in a tongue, you edify yourself. Just these little times breaking away, using an example, it floods my belly. It's there because my heart, it's not just a thing to do. It's a thing to do. Do you get what I'm saying? And all of a sudden it just ministers to your inner man. You're built up in your inner man by the Spirit of God through praying in tongues. Where do you get that? Right here in verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. So if I break out in another tongue and it's gifted with an interpretation in the congregation, which is what should be, and if a leader's patient, even if somebody breaks out, even in a little bit of zeal and excited, and they just start praying, and then they get overtaken, and they don't hush down, and they just keep praying, I don't think sometimes it's so quick to just correct that person and quiet them. I think to wait for God and trust His mercy in the heart of God towards the people, somebody will hear what He's saying, because the grace of God will interpret that if you just hang out and don't get uncomfortable.
And I'll do that. I've led services like that. Somebody just got emotional and it looked like, man, somebody toned them down. They're just, I think that's just them praying, kind of just personal issues or something. And then they're crying and you know they're going through stuff. And now your mind's working and you're judging all that. No, God, you're bigger than all that. Even if there was weakness involved in that, you're bigger than all that. You can make the weak strong. And I'd be like, God, right now, just thank you. And I'd say, people, just be patient. It's all right. Listen, that'd be a good time to hear. Was the Spirit, and of course you got away. I've been in situations like that where nobody spoke up, and in my heart I'd say, Lord, this needs to be in order, and this has to be interpreted. I don't even feel like we need to correct that person, and I just know that you're in grace to hear. And all of a sudden, you just fill me. It just, you just know it's God, and you don't even have the message. You just start to speak, and it comes because you just know it's God. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just neat, and that's how it works for me. It might work different for you, but I would encourage you not, in prophecy or interpretation of tongues, to sit and try to get the whole message together before you open your mouth. That's how you get integrated with the soul. Most of the time. You just speak. You get one little impression. You might get one little leading in that interpretation. And you're thinking, oh my God, this, oh my God, you better keep speaking or this is going to be... Because you just hear this one phrase, I love you. And that's all you hear, but it's so big and your belly's rumbling and you're starting to get nervous and you're shaking and now you got those little cold sweats and you're thinking, and it won't go away, I love you. And you're going, and there's 125 people standing there and the pastor's standing there, I love you. And you're like, oh, bah. And it's just like, wow. And when it's over, you're like, oh, and all you can do is kneel and say, you're so amazing. I love you too. Yeah. And everybody's, oh God. Right? Yeah. But you might only hear, I love you. Yeah. Say it. It'll come. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's just good. Okay. He who speaks in a tongue, what? Edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So tongues, when it's interpreted, is the same level as prophecy because that's prophetic. Tongues for the individual is to what? Build up your spirit man and speak to God personally. True? You see that already in Scripture? I wish, look at Paul, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues unless... See, he's putting it on the same level. Unless indeed he interprets that the church can receive edification. So praying in tongues is one thing, but prophetic is higher in the sense that there's a multiplicity of edification. So it's one thing if I'm being edified, but now if the gift that's edifying me is interpreted and edifies 20 more, that's even greater. That's all he's saying. So is the gift important this way and to be edified and pray in tongues and pray to God as an individual? Big time. Okay, but if it's interpreted, it's at the same level as prophecy. It brings edification to the church. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things, that would be like me opening up the school at 9:10 and going, hey, good morning, guys. Sheka satababa hashite. But see, you guys would be like, is he joking? Are we supposed to laugh? Are we unspiritual? Didn't we pray enough? We don't hear the interpretation. What's the point? You'd get nothing out of it. Right? Yeah, it'd be like, huh? The same thing as if I was Spanish and you were English and I just came here and stood in Spanish. You'd be like, dude, don't even get me the tape. You see what I'm saying? So this is what Paul's saying. What good does it do if I come and speak with tongues if you don't understand? But here's the cool thing. If I speak in tongues, even if I don't understand, there's amazing benefit. Because faith says so, because I'm praying to God and I'm speaking mysteries. Oh. So do I have to understand? Not at all. And most of the time, you probably won't. But there's a whole lot of times that you will, and especially when your heart gets involved and he leads you into areas to pray. There's times that I've done this in ministry lines already. It's not a method to me. I'll be praying for people and there's something that I feel like I'm supposed to see or know. And it's like, and you know how we tend to struggle and sometimes? I'll just thank you, Father. I pray in tongues, and as soon as I'm praying in tongues, English just rolls through me. And I'll turn and I'll say, hey, bop, 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 bop. I've done that on a whole handful of occasions. A lot of times it just comes to you anywhere, whatever. But there's times I'll pray in tongues because what am I doing? Conscious of the Spirit of God in me. I'm not trying to figure this out. I'm not trying to listen to an audible voice. I just hook up to the Spirit of God. You're in me. Pray, edify myself. Hey, I'm a man of God. I'll hear God because you love this person. Wow. Hey, I just saw. Bam, bam, bam. You get it? It's cool. It's really cool. But now, brethren, if I come to you with tongue, okay, look at verse 7. Even things without life. Okay. I'm just seeing what I need to cover here. Back up to verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue. Who's speaking? You are. Who's giving the utterance of the tongue? Who's given the definition of the tongue? Who's given the syllables and the utterance? Where does that come from? Who speaks it? You do. So it's out of your belly. It comes from inside. It's in you. You might hear syllables. You might not hear syllables. I don't hear syllables. I just pray and the syllables are there. I don't think about it. That's where we get in trouble. We think about it. And then when we think about it and do it, then we wonder if we're doing it and all that stuff. I've seen so many people messed up with, well, this is just me. Man, if you think it's just you, it's there and available for you. I would just say, Father, I thank you that you filled me with your Holy Spirit. And you get alone, close the door, and go ahead and pray in the Spirit. And just keep praying in the Spirit. And I think Spirit of God himself will teach you that it's not just you. I really do. It says here down in verse, because it's talking about praying without understanding and flute, playing sounds with distinction. He says, therefore, let him, verse 13, who speaks in a tongue, pray that he may what? Interpret. He's specifically talking about in a church service with a congregation and with a lot of people specifically at this time. That's the context of his writing. But it's still okay for you to pray to interpret. Even in your personal life. God, I would love to hear sometimes these communions, conversations, the mysteries. If there's things you want to make revealed to me, I am so wanting to know them. And I just thank you. But I appreciate the ability to pray in the Spirit. And I'll just pray in the Spirit. And there's times he'll let you hear. Okay? Now watch what he says. Here he's establishing verse 4 again. Watch verse 14. For if I pray, who's praying? Whoa, if I pray in a tongue. See, this will protect your soul. Watch this. Who's praying in the tongue? But who's actually praying, giving you the words? My spirit prays. So watch this. So if I pray in a tongue, so if I utilize my tongue, my mouth, my lips, my vocal cords, and pray in a tongue, I'm praying, but it's my spirit praying through me. It just shows how one we are. He doesn't take you over like a puppet and just start and then stop you. You have the privilege to pray. I've prayed for people in baptism of the Holy Spirit that got so pent up and caught up in their soul already. And I'm just, Father, just come. That's right. Just flood them and out of their belly. Just let them flow with stammering lips. God, just, that's right. Burst the dam, God. Let it flow. And they're like, they feel something in their belly. And I'm like, man, just worship Jesus. Just pray out right now in English or something. Just pray in English. It's okay. Don't make syllables. Don't try to do anything. Just pray in English and just begin to communicate with God and just love God. And sometimes all they need to do is open up their mouth and start talking. They're waiting to get exploded. No, Father, I just love you. They're crying. Do you know what I mean? You just need that thing to flow. But I don't say yabba dabba doo backwards or... That's like ridiculous. Please don't do that. Say this phrase four times fast. Hey, you got it.
If I pray in a tongue, what praise?
My spirit prays. Morgan.
This is a long ago reading. Johnny makes talk about how his desire to have us speak in tongues for the nations. You know, like.
All the tongues of other people, you mean? Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about his baptism experience in the Holy Spirit, because he sought a baptism of fire. And he had a theology that said, there's an experience I haven't had yet, and I'm waiting for to get branded with the fire of God. And tongues was a part of that. And he sought it for months. John G. Lake. Because you can receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? That's what Paul said. And they said, well, we don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit. What? What were you baptized into? John. Oh, that was repentance. He was preaching one to come. Don't you guys know he came? His name's Jesus. He rose from the dead. Remember? Man, where were you guys at? Listen, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden it says that they all got baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they got born again. They said, whoa, yay. And they got baptized in the name of the Lord. So they were converted. And then when Paul laid hands on them, they were all filled with the Spirit. Everywhere in Scripture, you see the baptism of the Holy Spirit just as important as water baptism and getting saved. It's right there in the list. Cornelius' household, as Peter was speaking, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they all what? Spoke in other tongues, and Peter lifted his voice and says, whoa, they've received the same Spirit we have. Who can forbid them water that they be baptized? And they were all baptized. Holy Spirit in tongues was first. I remember a lady that was demon-possessed. She was a drug addict and prostitute. She came to a service. God stuck her butt on a chair and wouldn't let her leave when the devils were trying to drive her out of the room. And in the flesh, you judge that stuff. Oh, it makes me cry. We judge that stuff and say, boy, she's got attitude. She said, no, she's got demons. She said, I had enough of this guy. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm going. I'm getting out of here. This is stupid. And we read that flesh face value and think, well, she got a hard heart. God will never touch her. God, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what people think when they hear her talking like that. She goes to get her purse and get up, and her butt stuck to the chair. God sovereignly stuck her butt to the chair. Why? Because she didn't want to leave. That's why she came. The devils were trying to drive her out because they had consumed her. And they overtake her, and all of a sudden she doesn't even know what she's doing. She doesn't even have conscience. When it was all over, she didn't even know nothing. She just knew her butt was stuck to the chair. Or she didn't even know that. She just knew when them devils were manifesting that she tried to get up, and she remembered trying to get up and couldn't move. And she said to her friend, I can't get out of my chair. What is going on? And it seemed, she seemed frustrated. I'm stuck in my chair. So she remembered that part. She didn't remember the manifestation. She didn't remember nothing. I looked at her and said, honey, would you come here? This girl has never been to church. She just came. Why? Because she knows her life's in bondage and she wants free. She's hoping there's something there for her. So God sticks her butt on the chair. I love that. What a loving God. So I pointed her out of the crowd and I said, you, ma'am, could you come here? I want to pray for you. Would you get up and come here? I didn't have a clue what was going on. I had no discernment. I didn't know nothing. All of a sudden her butt can come up. When I said, could you come here? Her butt's up. She's up. She's standing. I found out later she couldn't get up. Her friend was freaked out too. But she said, she got so irritated. I said, she wasn't irritated. This is what happened. Well, when she came up to me, she's like this. Just like that. It took her a minute and a half to come from where you are, Gene, to me. It was that intense. And I left her come the whole way because I just felt like doing that. I stood there. I didn't seem to go to her. And there was something about her just coming up there. It was so powerful. And I just told, Holy Spirit, would you come? And there was a between that stuff in her and, now watch, she fell to the floor, spirits coming out of this girl. It was just cool. And all of a sudden, praise filled her lips, unchurched. Praise filled her lips, praising Jesus. Jesus, you're awesome. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Nobody taught her that. Jesus, Jesus, praying in tongues like, and I'm like, whoa. She didn't even know there was such a thing.
Just came with the package of his love. Mail delivered by Holy Ghost. Air mailed. Came. Isn't that sweet?
I know a minister over in Africa. He's preaching over in Africa, and the people run to the altar to get saved. The fire of God's hitting them. They're falling on their face, praying in tongues. In America, we got so much teaching that sometimes it's hard to receive because our souls are so in the way. And we got to muddle through all the stuff and until he can even have a voice, because he has to get through our brains sometimes. So the best thing you can do is just receive by faith. So if I pray, who? If I pray in a tongue, who's praying? My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Watch. So what's the conclusion? Do I not do it because it's unfruitful? My understanding? No. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll also sing with understanding. Why? Because when I sing with understanding, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But when I sing in the Spirit, I know I'm singing to God and praying to God and speaking divine mysteries, so faith's there too. So I'm going to do them both. Because they're both God, they're both His will and plan, and they're healthy. And the book of Jude, you could argue with me all day on this. It's okay. I'm not going to argue, but I don't think you are either. What I'm saying, you could. It says this, but you, beloved, verse 20, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look, a lot of people say, well, that has nothing to do with tongues. That's just praying by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're always to pray by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What else is there? Pray by the flesh? You see what I'm saying? Come on. You live by the Spirit. So that's like, you know, saying that the gift of the word of knowledge is increased wisdom or understanding on the earth or something. It's like our healing is one day we'll all be healed. That's how we misconstrue these things. So it's in Jude 20. It says, you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I personally believe that can best be defined, praying in tongues, as well as praying inspired by the Spirit, the Word of God in the Scriptures, because faith comes by both. Do you follow what I'm saying? So it's your own language. And it's also by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:15 says that you could pray with groanings which cannot be uttered. That doesn't necessarily mean tongues, but it can. There's times, who was ever deep in prayer and you saw something so deep that you couldn't even express it and you just moaned or just went, oh, yet there's something about that very powerful. That's intercession. Very powerful intercession. When you're seeing something, there was a season in my life for a year and almost a half where God put me into deep cryings and I couldn't even speak. People thought something was wrong with me and was thinking something got deceived in me and twisted in me, because about once a day I would wipe out on the carpet and I was no good for nothing for about an hour, hour and a half. And he would run things by me that would just, and that's why people were, they were like, well, he doesn't point out sin. Well, there's times where you'll intercede and forgive. So there's forgiveness. There's times you'll take responsibility for and repent on behalf of, and grace will come. And it's always with a triumphant answer and ending. It's never with a, oh, the church is so in trouble. Do you know what I mean? But in that season, I cried and cried. I couldn't even function and I couldn't even speak. And there was no English words. Every once in a while, with tears, I would speak out mercy. But he would run visions through my mind. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience. Wouldn't trade that stuff in for nothing. That was a grace. God put that on me. After a year and a half, it lifted off of me. Does that mean I can't intercede? No. That was a grace. That was a called season in my life, where he put me in that. Here's what he said to me after that season, because I yielded to it. I didn't think something was wrong. I yielded. I prayed. I cried. You could pull out and say, why are you doing this to me, God? I don't like this. This is too much. Well, I thought you were mine and you gave yourself to me, so I was just using you the way I needed to, because I thought you were mine. I thought you surrendered. If he would talk like that, we'd hear that. After a year, he said, your prayers and tears have rung the heavens and heaven is responding. And I didn't know the depth of that. I still don't. I just know I cried and said, what an honor. Thank you. You can do whatever you want in me and through me. I'm yours. And I got up from that prayer. It was amazing. So praying in tongues, very important. We're at the end of time. I gave you a little example, little model. Praying in tongues often. What's the conclusion? I'll pray in the Spirit. Pray with my understanding. I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing with my understanding. I would encourage you all, when nobody's around, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues often. Driving in your car, turn off the radio. Just pray in tongues. Just get excited in it. Just start praying in tongues and fix your heart on Him. Fix your affection on Him and pray in tongues. Don't just pray in tongues in a mindless way. Fix your heart on Him and begin to pray. And I like to do it and teach it with English and tongues because that's what activates your heart a lot of times. Your understanding's unfruitful, so tongues doesn't maybe hit the mark a lot. People think, why am I doing this? But like you heard Dick say, he prayed in tongues all day. Remember that last night? Like in the morning till midnight? This amazing, beautiful place. You could tell when you looked at him and when he shared it, there was something awesome about it. I was like, yeah, Dick, you go, buddy. But a good way to get your heart in tune is to release English and release faith this way in English and roll into other tongues, English, other tongues. And you'll find that there's places where other tongues will just get predominant and you'll just flow with it. And especially singing in the Spirit is extremely powerful. I don't have time to go into it and teach on why, but there's even higher levels when you go into singing and the song. It just is. There's awesome things about singing. So it's true. And don't think, well, I don't sound good singing. Sing. Just so the noise is joyful. The Lord has this ability to hear it joyful. Even if your family says, stop singing, then take a walk and sing. But the Lord will hear your joy. Amen. Bless you. We love you guys. Have a tremendous, awesome day. Man, what a school day today. All kinds of monkeys in the barrel.